Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. Poor Alice becomes so sad because her key doesn't open all the doors, and she can't be big and small at the same time. Welcome to the three-part series, Why Being Too Humble is More Destructive to Fulfilling Your Purpose Than Being Too Prideful. In the last episode, Ella shared the difference between your wants and your needs. Wants come from a place of lacking, fear, and deficiencies, aka the ego. Needs are intrinsic to a person's being and reside within to be at the disposal of your enchanted beast when called upon. In this episode, Ella breaks down how wanting creates energy blocks that ultimately become distractions, keeping you from pursuing your soul's purpose. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? It's amazing to be back in the Enchanted Forest with you once again. Have y'all been keeping up with the news? Me? Not so much. I'm so serious. I honestly never know what's really going on. My daughters tell me sometimes, like if I'm strolling on Twitter, I'll see something, but honestly, I try not to even pay attention to the news because everything that presents is so dire, you know? And I hate that. But I don't know. I mean, I saw where the Pope and the Ali Ayatollah in Iraq, they are coming together. They spent time together, and the Pope preached mass at one of the oldest places, I guess, out there in Medina. The bill passes, both Senate and House, I think, with very little, you know, input from the Republicans. I'm like, damn, y'all don't want to help people out just the minimal amount that's being provided in this bill? You don't want schools to, whatever. Yeah. The Grammys last night. Interesting, I think. Like, it was interesting to see the way things were done. The Carters were out, and according to my oldest daughter, that is like, what? Because apparently they haven't made any appearances in quite a while at award shows. I am so in love with Silk Sonic. You know what I'm talking about. I just like, oh, that whole 70s vibe is everything, okay? It is everything. So Anderson .Paak and my boy doing big things. I hope there's like a full length something with them because of course I would download it. So that was really fun. I liked all of the performances, and I will admit I am not, you know, I'm familiar with Meg Thee Stallion in so much as my daughters tell me about her, and you know, I hear clips, but gosh, she's really beautiful and so humble. I loved how shocked she was when her name was called. But of course, the Grammy stayed on way past my bedtime because I had to get there at 9:30 is my bedtime. But it was, you know, it was different, and I kind of like it better this way, I think, than everybody showing up and, you know, flashing their wares. I don't know. But whatever, you know, things are moving as they are going to move. I don't know if everything is moving in the direction that is for the highest good of, the collective. But things are definitely moving along. And I guess, that's all we can really, I say, ask for if we are to ask for anything. As for me, I'm always moving toward my highest good. Okay. And hopefully my vibe is reaching you. Honestly, the only way to get where we are needed is to go through where we are. That's a little spin off my man Rumi, but in all honesty, the only way that we're going to get where our soul needs us to be is to go through where we currently are and do so while paying attention, being awake, and staying present, We have to do so with courage, humility, pride, and knowledge of self. And it's so funny that I'm saying we have to do so with humility and pride, because obviously, this three-part series, Why Being Too Humble Can Hijack You From, Being About the Purpose of Your Soul's Work. So, or the work of your soul's purpose. And still, I encourage you to have courage, humility, pride, and knowledge of self. So let's go ahead and get to it, right? So last week we left off, we went over the wants and needs. Our best friend Ego came back, and y'all, this little fellow is always going to stay around, right? What happens when our ego hijacks the promise of unlimited opportunities and the reality that all things are possible, right? Because I'm possible, there is no such thing as impossible. So, right now, this episode may run a little bit longer because there's so much shit I need to get through. And if you bear with me, it's going to be worth it because it's setting us up for the last episode in this series. Excuse me. You know what time it is. Yum. This is the Casablanca tea that I got with my tea of the month from a steaming kettle. So yummy. It's very sexy. If you want to buy me a cup of tea, then I'll leave a link in the description on both the podcast description and the YouTube description. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you'll know when I post new videos of the podcast. And of course, if you're listening to me on Spotify or any Apple Podcasts, whatever, make sure you like and subscribe so you'll know when I'm uploading new material. It's only twice a month, so I don't bore you. So I want to get back to this. I had to get a little sip of tea. So yeah, what happens when all of that goes wrong? Today I am going to break it all down, okay? Entitlement, displeasure and annoyance, disappointment. We're going to flip those when we start talking about it. Entitlement, unrealistic expectations, disappointment, displeasure and annoyance, and finally, lowered expectations. Stay with me. It is going to be worth it. There's a danger of being entitled, having entitlement issues. We always talk about shit like that, right? Older people, I'm like 46, right? And so, I know that I'm constantly, when I was in the classroom, and even sometimes now, I talk to my own children. I'm like, you guys have entitlement issues. You act like You're supposed to have all this stuff handed to you, given to you. That's not the case, right? And entitlement is dangerous, and it's dangerous for a lot of reasons. But for the sake of time, and because I love a good kind of break the word down in that way, right? So I'm going to tell you why entitlement is dangerous by using the word danger, okay? It diminishes personal work ethic and responsibility. When a person is entitled, right? When a person feels like they are entitled to whatever, then they don't feel a need to work for anything. They don't feel the need to take personal responsibility for their choices, for their desires, for it. I mean, literally, entitlement diminishes a person's will to work and be responsible for themselves. It assumes someone else is responsible for you. And we all know what happens when people assume, right? Entitlement allows a person to make those assumptions. Well, somebody else is responsible for me, for what I want, for where I want to be, for how I want to look, what I want to eat. And I'm like, who believes this stuff? A lot of people are very entitled. It narrows the opportunities for self-advocacy, self-efficacy, self-sufficiency. It narrows opportunities to be self-reliant. My man Emerson is like turning in his grave and cursing vehemently. Who are you to not be self-reliant? Why would you want to live that way, right? It grants a supportive platform for victimhood mentality. I'm going to touch on that again, but y'all, I hate a victim. And I know that if you're listening to this, you're going to say, wait, what? People can't help being a victim. Oh, yes, the hell you can. So I'm going to touch on this victimhood mentality and entitlement, feeling as if you are entitled. It gives a great supportive platform for victimhood mentality to fester, okay? It engages the ego. When we are entitled, right? When we feel like we're entitled to some shit, our ego is fully engaged because that's right up its alley, right? You mean I don't have to work real hard for something? I don't have to take responsibility when I mess stuff up? Somebody else is responsible. I don't really have to self-advocate. I don't have to, I mean, like, I can be like, I can't do that. I don't know how. Poor me. It's not my fault. Hell yeah, the ego is going to be engaged when we roll ourselves up in the entitlement blanket. And lastly, it reaffirms the ego's wants and fears. And that is the most dangerous aspect of entitlement. Anything that reaffirms lacking and fear is completely dangerous. To who, Elle? Who is that dangerous to? Obviously, it's dangerous to your enchanted beast, to the purpose that it willingly took on flesh again, or for the first time, or however the hell it decided to do it. Obviously, it's dangerous to you being able to meet the needs of your beast so that your beast can do what it came here to do. So anytime we're talking about entitlement, we kind of have to look at all of it through the energetic body. It's very easy to get bogged down in what we see, right? It's very easy to focus on the physical aspect of what we see and how we present and what is presented and how it is presented. I'm talking right now in the subtle bodies because that's what I'm dealing with, right? My physical body. If I had to depend on my physical body to get shit done, nothing would be done. My physical body is a hot, stanking mess. I am riddled with autoimmune disorders and diseases, the likes of which, according to medical professionals, should render me bedbound. Do I look bedbound to you? Do I look like I'm even dealing with anything? Hell no. And that is because I feed my subtle bodies. I pay attention to the subtle bodies because they just make more sense to me, right? So when I get into this, I want us to be aware that I'm talking within energy bodies, energy spiritual bodies, right? There is dense energy and there is light energy. None of it is good, none of it is bad. It's all just energy. And depending on what feels good to you, you might revel in dense energy. You might revel in the heavier shit, and that's fine. You might really enjoy the lighter stuff, and that's fine. You might be somewhere in the middle. It doesn't matter. Energy is energy is energy. I'm in the process of getting certified as a yoga instructor, and one of my teachers, Danielle, is amazing. She's one of the owners of Ithaca Yoga Farm out in Ithaca, New York. So, and they have a great program. I'll link it in my description. But we were talking about emotions in one of her office hours, and she said, emotions are just energy in motion. Emotions, energy in motion. And I was like, damn. That made way too much sense to me. So when we're talking about dense energy in motion or dense emotions that result from entitlement, it's important that you understand that anything that raises the vibratory effect of your ego is going to be dense. It will be dense because it can affect the actual physical body. Things that raise the vibration of your emotional body, of your mental body, your spiritual body, your intuitive body, right? Those things that raise the vibration within the subtle body, they will be lighter. Lower pitch affects the physical, higher pitch affects the subtle. Those are just kind of the way things are, and neither are good or bad. Okay? I have to clarify that. We associate dense energy in motion with entitlement because entitlement engages the ego, raises the vibration of the ego. What is entitlement? We all know the word. We've heard it. We've used it. We've been accused of it. We've accused others of it. It is simply the belief that one is deserving of privileges and special treatment. I am so tired of hearing white privilege. This is not a new phenomenon. White privilege has been a thing since white people have been a thing, but now everybody's so woke. Get over it. But when I saw this, I was like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are going to like go right to white privilege. And yeah, entitlement, white privilege is an entitlement. It is an extremely dense energy that raises the vibration of the ego. Ergo, who wants to give that up? Right? So that's entitlement, a belief that one is deserving. Deserving. Sometimes we have to be broken before we are able to see the beauty of our light reflected in the mirrors of our soul. Pick up Alishan's Broken Souls series, books 1 and 2, wherever you shop for your favorite books. I'm Sprise and Mirrored Souls. Available on Amazon, Nook, iBook, and Kobo. Deserving of nothing. That's what we deserve. We deserve absolutely nothing. Not our physical. And yet, those of us who are riddled with entitlement, we believe that we are deserving of privileges and or special treatment. Dangerous. Entitlement ultimately leads to unrealistic expectations, which lead us to disappointment, which manifest in the form of displeasure and annoyance. And then we develop lower expectations. I found a really interesting quote by Louise Penny from Kingdom of the Blind. Entitlement was, she knew, a terrible thing. It chained the person to their victimhood. It gobbled up all the air around it until the person lived in a vacuum where nothing good could flourish. The moment, and this is me, we believe we are entitled to anything, we become a victim to whatever it is we feel entitled to, i.e. material, wealth, relationships, access, good sex, good food. I don't know. Anything that we believe we deserve and are entitled to, we become victims to those things. I posted once or twice that you can have anything. Now, it's amazing how the universe rewards you the moment you realize you deserve it. And I thought back to those posts in those veins and I said, I need to make sure I go back and take that stuff out of my out of my feeds, because honestly, we deserve nothing. So no, it's not that the universe is going to reward you for believing that you deserve something. The universe rewards nothing. This isn't a game, right? There's no rewards and consequences so much as it's when the ego allows the higher self to take the lead and the physical space, shit just gets done. And the physical can reap the benefits of basically providing for its higher self, using what is innately a part of me, Ella, to ensure Lilith has what she needs to go out and do what she needs to do. It would look like the universe is saying, go, go, Ella. You are amazing. You deserve these things. And it's not. It's me playing great host and saying, yeah, I absolutely can do this. Like, this is something that I was born knowing how to do. You need to use it for, okay, yeah, no problem. Here you go. There's no reward in that other than I get to know that I am aiding my higher self in her journey and her quest to do what she wants to do, right? So, yeah, entitlement is a terrible thing. These are some of the words I underlined. Entitlement, terrible, chained, victimhood, gobbled, air, vacuum, no good, flourish. Entitlement is a terrible thing, often chained to victimhood. It gobbles air, the very flow of life, prana, leaves those who submit to its whims to live in a vacuum where no good will flourish. When we feel entitled, we often create unrealistic expectations. Now, expectations in and of themselves are problematic because they are rooted in the ego. Again, the ego is not a bad fellow, right? It's just really limited in its understanding of its place in the world. Limitations are another form of lacking, so expectations are simply another form of want, and want indicates a deficiency, which says what? If this were a live audience, you all would be screaming right now. We failed to provide what our souls needed. Cha-ching! And I would get a little t-shirt gun and boop, 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 toss out some Enchanted Beast merch. Because that's exactly what expectations really fall into, another want, which is a deficiency, which says you have not done what your soul needs you to do. When those ego-based expectations come from a place of entitlement, it becomes a want for something that cannot or probably will not happen, but is believed. It's believed by a person to be deserving. Let's say this. I have never taken a writing class in my life. I barely got out of high school English with decent grades. I hate research. I don't really understand grammar and the rules thereof. But I believe that I deserve to be a best-selling author. I write a lot in my journal and my diary. I believe that I deserve to be a best-selling writer. So I'm going to take these 155 pages of my prose and I'm going to shop them around to a lot of literary agencies because I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled for someone to pick me up. I'm entitled for them to say, oh my God, you are the next greatest thing with a pen in your hand. This is my right. I deserve it. Unrealistic expectations. And I have a spoiler alert. Nobody is deserving of privileges. Nobody deserves special treatment. Nobody deserves anything, really. That hurts. You know, when you have hyped yourself up and you have express these really grandiose, unrealistic expectations, these wants, these hopes, and you've done absolutely nothing to say that you warrant any of it, right? But you still have the balls to expect to be entitled enough to expect this unrealistic thing to just happen for you. And then it doesn't, because you don't deserve it, right? You don't get special privileges. I know. Some people do, Alice. Some people do. And that is only going to be great for them as long as they are in a physical space. I don't care about physical space. Here's what hurts so much when your unrealistic expectations aren't met. That feeling of having the most tender part of you hacked out with a rusty knife, and then being made to look at it as it dries up on the floor at your feet. All of the would-haves, could-haves, should-haves, just withering away. Never even having a chance to become anything other than the mediocre thoughts of a mediocre ego. Damn, Ella, that's harsh. No, it's true. It is true. Entitlement breeds complacency. Entitlement gives you this kind of false sense of self, makes you believe you are more than you are, that you are greater than you are, that you deserve more than you deserve, which is nothing. It makes you expect what you have not worked for, what you don't have to give. Remember, wanting signifies you're lacking. Need is what you already have, and you have it to give it to your soul to aid in the work. Don't nobody care what your old mediocre ego expects to have happen. And that disappointment that you are now feeling, that oh my God, somebody just cut out all my hopes and dreams. Yeah. It's disappointment. Dis, the removal, the reversal of an appointment, of an order, a placing, an appointment, a positioning. I thought I was positioned here and that I was going to be able to do this. Now I'm not where I thought I was going to be. I don't have what I thought I was going to have. I am removed from my appointment. I am disappointed. Disappointment is harsh. It is the root of all suffering. We suffer when our unrealistic, any expectation is unrealistic. Let me just put that out there. Any expectation you have is unrealistic. But we suffer when our expectations aren't met by either ourselves, those we have placed and heaped our expectations upon, situations, circumstances. Whenever shit doesn't go the way we wished or hoped or prayed, meditated, visualized, attracted, right? Whenever it just doesn't go the way we want, we experience disappointment. But let us be clear here. Disappointment is very, very difficult to endure. And the ego is not down with difficult, right? It doesn't want to feel pain, and disappointment is painful to be removed from a place that you have set yourself, right? So the ego's like, I'm not trying to be in pain. Only an idiot wants to feel pain. No, I am going to express this disappointment by showing how I am displeased and I am annoyed with this whole thing. Because at least with displeasure and annoyment, I am in power. That's kind of, I'm in control of that, says our little ego, right? Took another sip. Sorry. Not sorry. So this displeasure and or annoyance is caused by the non-fulfillment of wants and expectations, right? It is an expression of disappointment, a more palatable one for the ego, where it provides a false sense of empowerment, which allows, well, let's do this. Displeasure and annoyance. In other words, suffering, right? Suffering is a traumatic experience, emotionally shocking, a violent or sudden change or disruption, complete disorder and confusion, i.e. chaos. Suffering. We don't want to say we're suffering. Not unless it's going to garner us sympathy and get us something we want. If we are able to use suffering as a way to manipulate, then yes, we are suffering. But the ego does not want to appear weak. It does not want to suffer, right? So displeasure and annoyance, this is the masked marauder. Disappointment is the masked marauder, the thief. It pretends to be displeasured. It pretends to be annoyed in hopes of avoiding being associated with suffering. Dis means a lack of, removal or reversal, pleasure, feelings of enjoyment, delight, happiness. Again, I am being removed. I am experiencing a lack of happiness. And not because of something that I did, not because of something that I brought upon myself. No, I am experiencing this displeasure because so-and-so didn't do what I asked them to do, didn't do what I thought they were going to do that would have made it possible for me to do what I wanted to do. That's why I'm not happy. You don't have to take responsibility for your shit when you're entitled. I mean, if they had worked a little bit harder, then the small piece that I did would have been enough. You don't have to have a good work ethic. You can have diminished work ethic and responsibility when you're entitled, right? That's not a problem. You can be annoyed, right? You can be distressed because someone has treated you unfairly when you are entitled. I would have been there on time if they had told me that I needed to be there 15 minutes earlier. It's not fair to me that they didn't tell me to be there 15 minutes earlier. That's not how you treat someone fairly. You can be annoyed with people who you perceive to be treating you unfairly when you are entitled and you don't have to be self-sufficient or you don't have to have self-efficacy. Most of us express displeasure and or annoyance through anger and sorrow and frustration. When really these two dense energies in motion are reactions to feelings of want and lacking and deficiency, it always goes back to what you are lacking. It goes back to the deficiencies the ego is perceiving. We suffer displeasure when we allow disappointment to remove our naturally occurring state of happiness. We are not designed to be miserable, contrary to popular human belief. But when we become entitled, we kind of live in the land of misery. So, is it worth it to have the privilege if you're always miserable? If you're always in a state of suffering, is the privilege worth it? Hell no. Not to me. We suffer because we have unrealistic expectations based in our ego sense of entitlement. We continue to wallow in this cycle of entitlement and suffering. Our ego will become accustomed to not getting what it wants, and it begins to set the bar lower and lower until eventually, it wants so little when it gets it, it believes that it's all ways wanted, just a little bit. Just enough. That's when lowered expectations set in. And I know you all are probably like, what's the harm in having low expectations? What's wrong when the ego decides to lower its expectations if we are not really meant to expect anything at all? Ella, you are speaking in circles. Well, remember, expectations come from a place of lacking and unfulfillment, the same as wants, right? Therefore, expectations and wants are from the ego, and the ego is only hoping to protect the physical, to find more that looks like itself, and then make more that looks like itself. The triggers for that feeling of lacking, for being unfulfilled, those are real on the subtle level, right? Our ego cannot comprehend what is being asked. However, that feeling of lacking, of being unfulfilled, that is your soul crying out to you. It is your enchanted beast scratching under the skin. It is your essential higher self telling you, I need what you have. You only have it so you can give it to me. Stop pussyfooting around, wasting time and energy on foolishness. Give me what I need, Ella. Okay, fine. I remember that. But again, what's the harm in having low expectations? Number one, the ego feels entitled to unrealistic shit. Check. Universe says, get the hell out of here with all that. It's not happening. The ego feels disappointed because expectations weren't met after several million tries and failures. The ego responds by playing the victim and whining about how everybody takes away their chance at happiness, how nobody ever gives a fair shake anymore. Woe it's me. I've only ever tried to do what's best. Victimhood gobbles prana, life's breath. The universe says, it's not about your mediocre ass. What does your soul need? The ego becomes even more annoyed and decides it doesn't deserve to be happy. It doesn't deserve to be fulfilled. It accepts anything and has the audacity to call it humility. Wait, what? That's how the ego justifies its lack of fulfillment. That's how the ego justifies not reaching full potential. That is how the ego justifies its failure to meet the needs of its higher self. I am humble. Meanwhile, the enchanted beast is left depleted, deprived, unable to fulfill its purpose in this life because it doesn't get what it needs from you. The humble woman, Miss Humility, it doesn't get what it needs because we're so humble. I'm so humble. I have been led into humility by my washed out, mediocre, disgruntled, annoyed ego. Disappointment and unrealistic expectations, they all lead to suffering. I believe that I am deserving of privileges, of special treatment. The universe knows it isn't true. Therefore, they don't treat me like I'm special, they being the universe. And their actions have taken away my feelings of being special and privileged. I am experiencing displeasure. And I am also dealing with a great amount of annoyance at them because they're not treating me fairly. I'm Ella Sean. Why can you not see how special I am? Why are you guys not able to be fair with me? Over time, my ego is suffering and it continues to suffer and it suffers and it suffers and it hurts. And I don't want to hurt anymore. My ego doesn't. Ella doesn't want to feel pain. How can I alleviate this? How can I reduce? How can I remove myself from this painful experience? If wanting and expecting landed me in pain, then perhaps less wanting. And less expecting will get me out of pain. But also, you won't be able to hear and meet the needs of your soul if you don't go through the pain. I don't care about my soul's needs. Right now, I care about a couple of things. Not suffering, not feeling disappointed, not being annoyed, and being seen by my peers as someone who is great, someone who is giving, altruistic. Because I deserve that. I deserve to be seen as someone who is amazing, someone who is giving and humble, and someone who wants what's best, even if it isn't for myself. I deserve to be revered for my ability to endure. And still be gracious enough to give. But what about what your soul needs? I don't care. If I can't hear it, if I can't give it, I don't care. What is important is, guess what? Being humble makes people like me. Being humble puts me in an amazing light, and other people want to be around me. There's safety in numbers. I get my pick of who I can make others of myself with because people like humble people. I can do this. I deserve this. This is my right. This makes me special, my humility. Where are we back to? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because y'all, guess what? My time is almost up. But I won't go before leaving you with this. The ego wallows in this state of humility. I call it victimhood. If you disagree, leave me some comments. I'll be sure to check them and we can chat about it. Or you can call into my show. I'll leave a link in the description. Leave me a message. I'll put you on. And then I'll reply. Ego calls it being humble. I call it victimhood. Here's how humility is defined. Now, you tell me if this is something you want to be associated with. Humility, low self-regard and sense of unworthiness. A modest or low view of one's own importance. Unassuming or moderate in estimation of one's abilities, being insignificant or weak. That's why I laugh so much when people are like, oh, he has a big ego or she has a big ego. She's full of herself. No, the ego is never full of itself because the ego really enjoys being humble, being seen as lowly. It wallows in victimhood. I am insignificant. I am weak. Take care of me. Make decisions for me. I have no idea what I'm doing. I am not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your adoration. But because I am so humble and I can admit it, I accept your willingness to see me as something great. The price is too high to be humble. If the ego could truly accept its humility, then it would cede control to the soul. I have to say that again. If the ego is truly capable of accepting its humble position, it would cede control to the higher self without expectations, without limits, right? Unconditional concession of control to the higher self. However, the ego is not capable of seeing itself for what it truly is, and it perverses humility, latches on to the humble moniker because it still feels entitled to be revered, to be loved, to be honored. It still believes it is special, that it deserves privileges, special treatment. It holds true to the unrealistic expectations and is willing to suffer at all cost to have those expectations met. And damn everyone and everything that attempts to get in its way. Fine, if being boastful and prideful doesn't get me what I expect, then I will become humble. I will become a victim. I will become the poster child for humility. Meek, subservient, submissive, pliant. And in these ways, I will get what I expect. People will take care of me. People won't hold me accountable for my actions. People won't allow me to work too hard or too long. People won't require that I am self-sufficient. They're so meek. They don't have much, but what they have, they give. This is a truly pious person. This person understands what God wants from us all. To be humble, to be meek, to be mild. Why, in the name of all that is worthy, would the universe want to be represented by a weak, insignificant, modest, low self-regard having, unworthy being? Why would they, the universe, pluck some unassuming, woe it's me, better you have and I go without, mediocre thing up from obscurity and say, this is the very best parts of us? Why, when, how, where would that happen? Nowhere. It won't happen anywhere. No. They will not have their work made manifest by a coward, by an entitled child, unwilling to work and accept responsibility. No, that is not something to strive for. This is why being overly humble is so very destructive to your soul's purpose. You're giving what you have to those it was not meant for. What you innately have to give does not belong to anyone other than your higher self. You are so humble, you're giving away what is needed by your soul to fulfill the purpose. And you, Billy Mediocre, are reveling in the physical adoration of those who can't do anything. Who can't give your soul anything. And yet you revel in it. You revel in their, you're so kind. You revel in their pats on the back. You revel in their, let me take you to dinner. Let me pay this for you. Let me give you this award so you can humbly accept it. Let me introduce you to. And your soul is shriveling up. Your soul is depleted. Your soul is deprived. The purpose is not fulfilled. So that when you wake up and you still feel lacking, you still want, you're still trying to figure out why you are so very disappointed. It has not to do with your ego. It is your soul. It is your soul who has become deprived and depleted and has made the decision, I don't need your physical carcass. I will destroy it. And I can always come back and find a willing person, someone stronger than their ego, someone capable of meeting my needs. Yes, I can do that. Humility, victimhood, all the same, if you ask me. Next episode, I told you all that we would get into the meat and potatoes of this whole situation. Poor Alice. Sad and crying tears so much she gets stuck in a jar. She's gonna drown in her tears. She's so sad and disappointed. because she realizes she can't be big and small at the same time. She can't be big and small at the same time. She thought she was entitled to get into every door, see what was behind every door, experience everything. Alice was entitled. She felt entitled to unlock every door, to experience everything she could. She became so disappointed when her expectations were not met. She experienced displeasure and annoyance. She cried and cried. Stuck in a bottle, she almost drowned in her tears because it wasn't fair. She wasn't being treated fairly at all. Someone took her happiness away, took her right to be content away, and she was so sad. She suffered. She suffered, and she didn't want to suffer. And she is left with the question, the very question I'm going to ask you. Will you be big and willing to deal with pain? Or will you stay small and be at the mercy of the world around you? Because like Alice discovered, you can't have it both ways. You can't be big and small at the same time. That's it. My time's up, people. My time is up. Thank you so much for traipsing through the Enchanted Forest with me. It's been interesting. I'm glad we got to this point. On the last day of March, I believe it's the 31st, I'll be posting the final episode in this three-part series, The Meat and Potatoes. Why, your humility, your over-humility, you're a big, giant, humble pie. Is costing your soul's purpose to be unfulfilled. Until next time, this is Ella, reminding you, as always, to be brave, be beautiful, and stay enchanting. This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.